Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. What does overgiving actually do? What does overthinking actually do? Creates an attachment to that person where it's like, man, I've done so much for this person. There's no way they can walk away now. There's no way that they're going to abandon me. And it leads you into overthinking. It's a never-ending roller coaster. It's a hamster wheel. How much more of my value can I consistently prove to somebody?
Hey, babe.
It's Aisha Christina.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hello, angels. How is everybody feeling? It's been a long time coming, but we are rolling out these episodes because, hello, podcasting is my favorite thing to do ever. Firstly, a huge shout out to every single one of you that has reached out to me, gave me a shout out, reposted the podcast that we posted last week. So it just feels really good to be in the swing of things. I do actually plan on doing an audio only series where it's kind of like my diary, where we get really, really intimate and talk about things that I wouldn't normally talk about. In other news as well, which is also really, really interesting, is we will also be adding another visual episode. So basically, guys, you guys are getting a lot more podcast content from me, okay? Because I not only want to, but also I gotta make up for the fact that I was gone for a very long time, okay? So we're gonna be doing two visual episodes plus an audio episode a week. So I kind of just want to, you know, slowly but surely get my way into it. So let's roll that out. And I'm very, very excited. So for those of you that have been rocking with me all this time, thank you for your patience. It does not go unnoticed. And also, thank you for your support. I want to make sure that we are coming back to YouTube because let's not forget, yes, I have been doing TikTok shop and all the things, but I really want to make sure that I am really also creating space for the place that started it all and my first love, which is YouTube. And luckily now, to be transparent, I don't need to sit in my room necessarily and film content anymore because I feel like luckily podcasting has taken on that, you know, form of content where I'm giving you guys advice and all the things. I can just do that exact thing in the medium of podcast creation. So it really just ends up working out really, really well. So today's episode, we are going to be talking about rewiring our brain when it comes to dating. As of late, this topic of neuroscience has really just been resurfacing in my mind. And as I've gone through a lot really in the past couple years, who knows, maybe I might talk about it in my, you know, diary series, which is the audio only series. I'm sure I'll end up getting into it, but I just really learned about the power of the mind. And this has just been resurfacing. And there is a place where both faith and science can actually coexist. And that is something that I really just want to share with all of you. So I want to start by saying that you're probably not actually bad at dating. It's more that you just don't realize that you've actually been wired to accept certain patterns or look for certain patterns in your life. So you're not broken. You're not too much. Okay. You're not choosing wrong because maybe something is wrong with you. Most of us are actually dating from a brain that was trained on survival as opposed to safety. Okay. I think that's very fair to say. And so I was talking about this the other night with my god sister, last night, really, to be honest with you. And we were talking about the butterfly feelings. I remember I was in church one day and this lady said to me, you know, you don't want to be with a guy that's going to like give you butterflies and make you feel so like antsy and giddy and all these different things. And there's been all this discourse online that I've seen since that comment was made to me many, many years ago about what butterflies actually are. So we are going to get into that a little further on into the episode, but it's just fascinating. Like, what do those butterflies actually mean? And what does it look like to kind of rewire your brain in dating? So if you've ever wondered why you've attracted the exact same person, okay, where it's basically been the exact same type of person, I want to reiterate, where it's like different face, same case, all right? Why does calmness feel boring to me? All right. Or why do I feel addicted to people who don't choose me? This episode is going to be for you. So your brain's job is safety. It is not actually love first, which is also, we're going to talk about this in a separate episode. It's kind of the same concept with discipline. The very things that we know we should be doing, our brains are wired to do the exact opposite, because more than anything, our brains just want us to feel safe and familiar. So neuroscience actually teaches us that your brain's primary job is actually not happiness, it's safety, which is why we tend to choose what's familiar over the unknown of maybe things being better on the other side. We would rather stick with what we feel we know, all right? So your brain at some point or another has learned this is what love feels like. And there are multiple factors that contribute to you actually feeling that way. And then when you grow up, actually, you say things like, why do I feel drawn to emotionally unavailable men? Why does peace make me actually feel uncomfortable? You know, it's not necessarily because you like dysfunction. It's because your brain actually recognizes it. And because, again, we are looking for more patterns that make us feel familiar, we tend to attract that. And so with that being said, familiar does not actually mean healthy, okay? It means known. It doesn't mean happy, it means known. All right, now let's really get into the butterflies, the dopamine, and what the trauma bonds actually are. So this is where people tend to get confused. We've been taught that butterflies actually means chemistry.
Listen, I remember one time, you know, I was talking to this guy, okay?
And I remember like when he kissed me, I remember it very vividly to this day, that I remember it felt like the world stopped and that there was a panoramic camera circling around me like I was in a music video. Like I was well into my 20s when this, like I was like, wait, what was that feeling? Like I've never really had a sensation like that before. So it was like, whoa, like, and mind you, the way my brain processed that relationship was like, well, one, it barely was one. Okay. So there was that. In this particular situation, like that person was absolutely not the best person for me, you know? And it was, I think it was just a matter of the intoxication of the fact that it was just honestly so chaotic. And the thing is, there were large parts of me that actually disliked it more than I did like it, but I was still going along with it because it did actually give me dopamine in a lot of ways. So neuroscience actually says that butterflies can also mean an activated nervous system. That's what butterflies actually are. So inconsistent affection, hot and cold behavior, it actually creates dopamine spikes. That's why some people are so used to being ignored and all these different things that all of a sudden you think, oh, you know, I just need to prove to him that, you know, I'm there for him, that he can trust me. And some men probably do require that. It just will never be a man that's for me. And that's okay. But I'm just saying. All right. Dopamine is the same chemical that's involved in addiction. That's why it becomes addictive. Do you see the parallels that I'm drawing here? Okay, so let me say this clearly. Anxiety is not attraction, it is information. If somebody's always making you feel like anxious, like, oh, you're waiting by your phone, waiting for them to like answer, like there's this like feeling to you, you're not even recognizing, ding, 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 this is a red flag. This person is creating a level of unsafety for you. But because that's all you know, based off of maybe your environment or what have you, or your first experience in love, you attribute that to something that's familiar. You attribute that to, let me work harder. You know what they also say? We tend to date people that remind us of our most difficult parent. That's what they say. Why? Because it gives us a sense of control to redo the dynamic. And again, this is not for everybody. However, this is stereotypically the general rule of thumb, all right? So when someone makes you feel on edge, they make you feel hyper aware. They're constantly making you question where you stand. That is not romance. That is your nervous system in survival mode. I got to fix this. I got to figure out a way to make this work. I got to figure out a way to create that safety for me because now I'm in control. I'm older now. Like I can create this environment where I can fix this dynamic that feels familiar to me. And honestly, from a faith perspective, God is simply not the author of confusion. And you know what my rule of thumb is? If it's fragile, let it freaking break. If it's fragile, best believe Aisha's letting it break. I am, because I don't care. Because for me, love does not equate to fighting. It does not equate to turmoil. It does not equate to, you know, feeling like I'm always having to like show up in the capacity of proving my worth to somebody to make them stick around. Whatever decision you make, I'm okay with it. Because what one man's trash is another one's treasure. That's all I'm trying to say. Like, and I'm not calling us that by any means, but you guys are picking up what I'm laying down. Like certain people also in life, they're not meant to see you. How do I explain this? They're not meant to see and unlock certain qualities in you. And ladies, especially for those of you that are young, all right, you're in your 20s still, do not spend your life trying to override situations where you're constantly proving your worth, because this is where that experience begins to formulate. You begin to base the rest of your relationships off of the patterns of the one relationship that you had to prove your worth constantly. And then it kind of just sticks with you everywhere you go, where that's your normal. And you're attracting people that actually require you to show up in that capacity. So to you, you don't see that it's actually you that's attracting that pattern, because it's getting validated through another person. Oh, well, I do have to show up in this capacity for them because that's something that they're also requiring. You know, let's even put it in a more extreme example. Let's say that, you know, you have been in dynamics in the past where it has been controlling. A guy doesn't want you wearing certain things. He's getting mad at you for posting certain things on Instagram. And to you, I mean, you're not here in a thong bikini or anything like that, but something about it feels so like, okay, I'm genuinely not even doing anything. And he's like misinterpreting like natural actions. He has a problem with like natural things that are not even adding up. It's too extra. Or, you know, you're scared to even interact with the opposite sex because your man is going to treat you like, you know, you're being disrespectful to him because you shouldn't even have been talking to another guy that's of the opposite sex. Why are you even looking at them? That's a little ridiculous. And I'm sure that these dynamics, they are in all types of relationships. At the end of the day, it's a controlling thing that needs to be solved. If your partner is making you feel like you shouldn't be talking to anybody but them, we have a problem. It's not in Houston. It's here, okay? That's where it is. So at the end of the day, if somebody is making you feel this like hyper awareness, it's creating a vibe of, I gotta be perfect. I gotta be on my P's and Q's. If I see another guy walk by, I better like actually shift my body language away from that person because I don't want to give the wrong idea to my boyfriend because I don't want him to start an argument with me. I better make sure that I barely, you know, wear makeup, or I want to make sure that if I'm posting anything on the internet, I want to make sure that it's to his liking. I'm filtering things through the lens of another person. Do you understand what I'm saying? So for you, you're thinking, man, you're dating someone else. Maybe a relationship like that ended, but you're attracting another guy that has that same thing. And to you, you're thinking, well, at this point, that's just how guys are, I guess. Like they don't want you to really just have a normal conversation with another guy, even if it means absolutely nothing. Like you're not flirting with them. Like that is not normal to be in relationships. I don't even know why I'm bringing this up, but I guess this is for somebody. It is not normal to be in a relationship and someone is making you feel like you have to explain every single interaction that you have with somebody, period. What that's actually telling me is that there's a deep insecurity there. And that means that everyone is a threat to your relationship. And you're gonna spend what? The entirety of your life constantly trying to prove that? When people have deep wounds in this nature or in any nature, it's a bottomless pit is what it is. You will spend the entirety of your life trying to be good enough to create the right safety for that person to make them feel like whatever they feel is threatening is not threatening to them. It is a bottomless pit because it is not your cross to bear. It is not for you to try and correct their own wound. They need to fix that for themselves. Do you understand? Okay, now this leads me into attachment patterns in dating. We've all heard about this, so I want to talk about attachments without labels, but more in the sense of just patterns, okay? So some people, they overgive and they overthink because they're afraid of abandonment. Because what does overgiving actually do? What does overthinking actually do? Well, one, overgiving, now it creates an attachment to that person where it's like, man, I've done so much for this person. There's no way they can walk away now. I've proven my value to them so much. There's no way that they can walk away now. There's no way that they're going to abandon me. And it leads you into overthinking. It's a never-ending roller coaster. It's a hamster wheel. How much more of my value can I consistently prove to somebody? There's always a link. There's always a connection. You just have to put it together. And a lot of people don't. The hardest person to face, it really just is yourself, honestly. It really, really is. Like I said, some people, they pull away the moments, you know, that things get real, right? More avoidant. Some people, they're calm, they're consistent, and they're emotionally available. Very rare, it seems like, but they're out there, all right? I'm just saying. But here's the hard truth. You actually don't attract who you want, right? You attract who your nervous system feels safe with. And that's why attachments and learning the patterns and figuring out what your attachment style is, that's why it actually does matter, babe. It does matter to figure out if you're avoidant. It does matter to figure out if you are an anxious attachment person. And it does also help to figure out if you're a secure attachment person. In relationships, things and qualities about yourself will be mirrored back to you. How are you actually going to change them? What are you going to do to fix them? All right. How can your brain actually be rewired? This is where the hope comes in. Not all hope is lost. So this is the good news. The brain is actually not fixed. This is what's so fascinating to me about our brains. So there's something called neuroplasticity. Right? This means your brain can change through repetition, awareness, and also safety. And awareness is what's going to interrupt the pattern. So the moment you name a pattern, it starts to lose power because a lot of people are walking around in just all, you know, just wandering around aimlessly. They have no idea what's going on. They just can't seem to figure out like why they keep attracting the same guy and why all men are the same and all these different things. And they might even feel like they are doing a lot of things in a healthy way, but they just can't seem to make things align for them. But it's important to identify, okay, if somebody's bringing out certain triggers in me, what exactly is coming up here? I said this quote to one of my friends the other day, because we were kind of talking about something similar to this. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to dislike qualities in someone because I dislike them in myself. I want to be able to dislike qualities in someone because I don't identify with that at all in a way where that's just not going to work for me. I don't want to secretly be hating something because I know that that's something that exists inside of me. Does anyone understand what I'm saying? So if you're a very sloppy person and you're out of order, you're annoyed that maybe your boyfriend might be the same. But a part of you dislikes it because you wish that you were a neat and organized person. But that's actually a quality that exists within you, which means that you hate it being reflected back to you because that's a part of you, as opposed to disliking it because you're an organized person. So why would you want to be with someone that's not? Because you are an organized person. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know why. I thought that was so powerful and so revelatory because I was just like, wow. I do not want to dislike qualities in someone because I secretly hate that about myself. And I feel that that's the same for all of us. Like, it just causes a lot of contention. And then at that rate, things just don't, it doesn't really, now you have to see, okay, this is coming to the surface. I need to fix this. As opposed to, this actually doesn't align because I'm actually not like that. And in order for healthy things to function, certain things like unanimously across the universe, being disorganized is a quality that should be worked on by everyone because you can't get anywhere if there's no clarity and there's persistent dysfunction. Okay, so you should ask yourself, who do I feel instantly drawn to? And how does my body feel around them? Some of you are so used to anxiety, it is so much your norm. You don't even see how you unlock those patterns and you actually function almost to you better with having that anxiety. So someone else that you actually like and that you're with creating those same feelings is, why would you think that there's anything wrong with it? Because it's all you've known how to function in, okay? Your body will always tell the truth before your emotions do. Remember that. It is important that we regulate before we start to choose. Why? Because a regulated body makes better decisions. I saw something that TD Jakes said like a while ago, and he was saying that it's important that you, to the best of your ability, heal yourself, because the version of yourself that heals is not even going to be attracted to the person that you were with necessarily before you actually became healed. Because you start to really want different for yourself, which is why environments are actually everything. When you think about it, yeah, let's go back to the being a disorganized person thing. If you all of a sudden have finally curated an environment where you want to be organized and you're in an environment, let's say where you're in a relationship and that person is completely disorganized, at one point you were willing to put up with that dysfunction because it was also a part of you. You were trying to sort through it. You were used to being like that yourself. But once you've cleaned that up completely and you're like, all right, I got myself out of that sort of, you know, place, a mentality, because dysfunction, it's a big deal. It bleeds off into many other areas of your life, all right? How you do anything is how you do everything, okay? That's a general rule of thumb. Who you're going to want to be with, ideally, it's that quality is definitely going to be something that's going to change. Oh, okay, you know what? Now I realize being with someone that is capable of, you know, cleaning up after themselves is a requirement of mine. You know, being with someone that's teachable is a requirement of mine. I don't want someone that's going to be locked into, you know, being a very rigid person or what have you. I want someone that's going to be able to communicate. You know, I don't want someone that's going to be shutting down when adversity comes and uncomfortable conversations come. I don't always want to be the one to initiate conversation, but our desires far outweigh what the truth is sometimes, where you tend to justify it. And people that are not good for you, unfortunately, are going to allow you to do this. So in your mind, it's going to further validate that you are making the right decision, but you're actually not. You're actually not, because that person is actually validating the toxic ways about yourself that clearly are not that overtly obvious, but they are still there. So if you're finding yourself always having to initiate important conversations, you're always having to help navigate, you know, communication with that person is clearly unhealthy, because they're allowing you to do those things as opposed to there being a meeting of the minds, especially when it comes to, you know, being in a relationship and you want that man to be, you know, to lead. You want that man to lead, period. But if you're the one that's having to initiate the dates, the this, the that, all these different things, you turn around and it's like, now, as soon as you let go, which you know, I can't let go, I have to constantly stay on top of this person, because if I don't know where the situation's gonna go. You guys understand what I'm saying. Now, what does a regulated body that makes better decisions do? Well, this means slowing down emotional intimacy. This means not oversharing on the first few dates. Some people just think, oh, I'm just such a real and authentic person. I just want to, you know, just talk about deep things, all these different things. There are levels and there's layers to things. All right. Like, you know, you should not be oversharing as a means to try and quickly bond with that person. And that's what a lot of people that do this tend to do. They think that oversharing and getting to like the deepest parts, like, I just want to know every single thing about you. Like, their timeline is extremely accelerated and they don't realize that. And that's a part of that anxiousness. Like, you're just really on a fast track to nowhere land. Okay. And you think you're making progress because you're always on speed. All right. Also, watching, you know, actions over words. All right. What is this? How is this person's behavior? But it's okay for some people because they keep on having to course correct it. Oh, I fixed that. 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 Okay, well, for how long? All right. And also allow consistency to reveal itself. I am a very big believer. Like I said, if it's fragile, let it break. I'm okay with letting people make certain decisions because I really just want to see, especially in the beginning, I want to see how you really are. And I want to let you show up as that because I'm not interested in changing anybody. Yes, there are different things that can be improved on, you know, on both parties, but I want to see fundamentally how you are in situations first. I'm not here to, you know, hold your hand as you're, I'm basically manipulating myself by trying to manipulate how you're showing up so that I'm hoping that this can work together the way that I want it to. No, I don't care. Okay. Here's a line that I want you to remember. You don't need necessarily this like intoxicating chemistry all the time on a first date. Obviously you need to, establish the baseline of, am I attracted to this person? All the things, I'm sure you are. But that like high, you know, intoxicating feeling that you're feeling, you actually need clarity. You need to know where this person is going and have an idea of logically what's going on. And this, especially the older you become, it's important to just lay that out. Yes, people can lie, but hopefully your discernment gets better and better. But at the end of the day, people don't like labels on things because they don't want to define it. And in that anonymity, it then gives them a reason to have free rein to do whatever they want because there's no accountability, there's no responsibility when no one can define anything. So then here you are, it's been 6 months and you've had to come up with a million different ways on how to manipulate this guy now at this point into actually being in a relationship with you, but you're doing all the relationship things. You're hanging out with this person. You're probably being intimate with this person. You're doing all these different things. And yet he still can't figure out where he would like to go. He's unsure about it. And he doesn't even want to discuss it either. So there's no transparency. So repetition is going to create new wiring. At first, for some people, healthy love can probably feel boring because why? You're so used to something happening and manipulating the situation or being manipulated. You're so used to that, that it's like you mistake peace genuinely for like problems. Oh man, I don't understand. Like, why is he not texting me all day long? Why like little absences in conversations that are healthy, like silence in conversations that are healthy. You're mistaking for, I bet he's doing something. Let me hit him up. He didn't answer me. Oh my gosh. Like, and it just sends you spiraling where it pretty much controls and dictates your entire day. Like, no, absolutely not. But it's not because it is actually boring, right? It's because your brain, it just isn't used to peace. But the more that you choose safety, the more that peace actually becomes familiar. And the less chaos will actually feel exciting. So of course, I like to tie in some faith into this. And scripture says that we should be renewed by the transforming of our mind, okay? This is Romans 12 verses 2. And God does not just heal hearts, he also renews minds. And sometimes healing, you know, is actually slow discernment. You have to work on it. It's an exercise that needs to be practiced, all right? But peace is not a lack of excitement, all right? It is actually safety, all right? It is actually, you know, confirmation of, okay, for where we are right now, things are going on the right track until, you know, we'll cross certain bridges when we get there type of thing. So I want to leave you with this, all right? You're not broken. Your brain just learned to love in one way, all right? And with intention, with having awareness and also God's guidance, it can also learn a new one. So the questions that you guys should sit with are, am I choosing familiarity or am I choosing healing? And I get it. Sometimes you don't want to just have to start over. Like once you hear certain things and you realize, okay, that's me. I think that's me again. That might be me too. Like I'm already in too deep. Like I don't want to have to let this go. I've put so much work into this. but it's food for thought. Does this relationship bring peace or does it bring dysregulation? What qualities are actually being mirrored back to me? Do I dislike this because it's actually a quality I hate in myself? Or is it because it's actually something that doesn't align? It's different than me. Is my body calm or is it constantly on alert? And for those of you that know that you are already anxious, stop blaming yourself for things too. In the sense where, because actually, first of all, I'm here to confirm, sometimes it really is you. All right, you got to figure that out. But sometimes you're also dating people that are the same, or you're dating people that are exasperating those qualities in you. And that's also something to take note of, right? That is also something to really like think about. Do I want to have to fix this before I even fix it in me first? All right. So healthy love is not going to make you feel anxious. It's going to make you feel secure. And that is simply what you deserve. So if this episode has spoke to you, I want you to send it to a friend, all right, that keeps on asking, why do I always choose the same person? All right. And if you want more conversations like this, where we're going to be talking about, of course, dating, healing and dating, really anything that I want, okay, business, neuroscience now, like you guys already know where to find me. We are so back, baby. All right. So do not forget, guys, like to give this, rating. You guys can rate this on Apple or wherever, honestly, you're listening to. It all really, really helps me out. And of course, yeah, share this with a friend. We're not gatekeepers here. And I'll see you guys in my next episode. Mwah.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.